Welcome back to Fun Town, everybody. It's Tuesday for us. It is Wednesday for you. Everybody looks skinnier on my screen right now. I think the weight loss challenge is working.
Jess, looks good.
How good do these two look right now?
They're looking thin in the face. They really are.
I mean, come on.
I'm getting a little jealous. I gained like 5 pounds the past week. And maybe I'm getting all of their weight. It's depressing.
Austin looks 12 years younger. And 25 pounds lighter in the face. I hate him. I hate him already. I feel defeated. Like, just seeing him pop up on the Zoom made me go, yep, I lost.
This is where I wanted to be about halfway through. I have it on my whiteboard here. About halfway through, Jeff is broken.
Oh, your whole plan on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's holding me back.
No, I'm going to put it up there, though.
Whiteboard, Jeff.
You need a dream board. Is it dream board?
It just says Jeff is broken. It's in the middle. So
that could have been written at any point throughout my life.
Wait, how much facial hair did you remove, Austin? Did that Austin?
Oh, I got rid of the mustache. Yeah.
How much weight was that?
Oh, that was like 3 or 4 pounds.
Nice.
You son of a bitch. I bet.
Oscar, you're sporting some weight on that face. Well, in the hair, the beard.
Yeah.
That's probably a good...
Plus, I have a nest of raccoon living in here, so that adds at least another 27 pounds.
Keep him. He's cute. Yeah.
We like the raccoon.
He's starting to... I think he has lice. It's starting to get...
And fleas.
Yeah. Have you seen this raccoon guy or gal on the internet right now?
No.
That's going around, and it's just this... Woman or man, I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter. But they come out and they have like 50 hot dogs in a container, and they just sit down on their porch and they get surrounded by the fattest fucking raccoons you've ever seen. And they're like, here's a hot dog for you. And here's a hot dog for you. And here's a hot dog for you. And they just, and she's like, oh, or he, I'm down to 7 left. And like 7, 6. And he's just handing raccoons. Hot, and I'm talking 30 raccoon.
Oh my gosh.
Just all around, just on his back, on his lap, on the ground. And they are the fattest raccoons ever. This dude must be giving them like 500 hot dog a day.
I am so jealous. Well, I love it.
Jeff, let's make sure everyone knows how to do this right. What brand do we need to be using when we're going to be doing raccoon feeding?
I would assume Bar Z. Like those things, those trash pandas will get the most ghetto ass hot dog you can
60
find.
Packs that come in a-
Yes. I don't even know what brand you just mentioned. Folder. I don't even know that brand.
Oh, I know it because my mom shops at Dollar General, and that's where she buys all of her meat. And I'm pretty sure that's a Dollar General brand.
No, Jeff, that's not true. That can't
be. Dude, these hot dogs are so bad that you grill them on the grill and they don't get grill marks. Like, they just get...
Are they the ones that just bubble up like plastic?
Yeah, they don't even change color. Like, you're like, are they done? I guess. They're smoking, but... You haven't changed consistency or anything. They are the worst hot dog to walk the face of the earth.
I think, you know, hot dogs are made pretty much from lips and assholes. I think those are made from the assholes from the asshole. Like it's the inner layer. It's the unused part of the asshole that most hot dog companies keep out of your hot dog and bologna. They take that.
Yeah, all the shit that fell on the floor that they squeegeed into the drain. That's
cuticle Bar-Z. Meat. Just all cuticle skin.
I mean, there's a part of the asshole that you can't clean no matter how you process it. And they
like the casings, like rat intestines. Like, that's
guys,
what they.
Guys, I love hot dogs.
Oh, give me a Hebrew National or a Nathan's. Mm. Oh, I'll eat 6 hot dogs in one sitting. I don't give a damn.
Kosher butthole, you're okay.
Oh, yeah. Total. But
still been making my own gourmet hot dogs.
Really?
Yeah, I still have stuff left. I never run out. It lasts forever.
You make?
Yeah. Okay. Well, all I do is I boil the hot dogs, which I never do. I usually just nuke them, or if I'm grilling, I put them on the grill. But I boil them just like they do at Portillo's or one of the gourmet hot dog places. And then I split it down the middle so that it opens up and that creates that V, that wedge. And then I take a pickle spear, seat it upside down so that it becomes the male
using the wedge to the female. To fill it.
Yeah. And then I just fill it with horseradish and mustard and then onions and then those little pepperoncinis on top. Oh, it's so fucking
good. That's fancy.
And there's no ketchup on that at all.
I don't put any ketchup on that.
What?
Once I put ketchup on it.
You can put ketchup on it.
But I never will for pictures. Indiana. Yeah.
We grew up where it's like you take two hot dogs, you cut them in half, microwave them about 35, 45 seconds, whatever you prefer. Two slices of Wonder Bread. Now your hot dog, you put one with the open side down and the other open side up. Got to keep it even. You just cover it with ketchup. You're good to go. Oh, hot dog sandwich. But now I'm starting to feel a little trashy.
Hot dog sandwich.
I ate many of those when I was a kid.
Yeah. We didn't buy buns. You don't need buns. No. Bread is bread.
Oh, no. Loaf of bread.
Yeah. Tell my mom did it. She's like, I was like, but I want you have to be able to hold it in one hand. And she's like, okay. So she just took one of the pieces off and then folded it. Here you go.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's like the old Eddie Murphy sketch when he said, where'd you get that green pepper welfare burger? My mama made it.
What do you put on your hot dog there, Jess?
Ketchup. Now I'll get fancy and put ketchup and cheese. That's about
like a shredded?
I don't usually have. If I have shredded, yes. But otherwise, I just take slices of cheese and just kind of rip them up and lay them on there, melt them another 10, 15 seconds in the microwave. When I hear nice. The pop, I know it's done.
It'll pop.
You ever try to heat up a pork chop in a microwave? It sounds like a gunfight. Sounds like a scene from The Expendables. It's just pop, 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 pop. Pork pops so loud in a microwave, and I don't understand the chemistry behind it. But if you're a listener and you know, please send that to us because I'm dying to know why pork and ham pop in a microwave and the other meats don't. I assume it's got something to do with the saltiness of it. But I don't know.
It's all that greasy goodness.
Yeah.
It's
all the water retention.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. This reminded me. So there is a woman on YouTube, and I don't know how the hell I found this lady. But she's from Tennessee, and she cooks in her kitchen, and she records it. I don't know why, but she does. She somehow has like 50,000 subscribers, and I watch her, and she's just like, so normally I just microwave this bacon. I mean, but I got it in the pan today and for some reason it's extra crispy and she like holds up the package and it's like pre-cooked bacon that she's like trying to brown or whatever. And she's just, her counter's dirty. Like, she'll be like, I'm going to put some kale in this. And then you hear her daughter go, I ain't never had no kale before. Like off screen. It's like, and it's crushing. The worst cooking show ever, and I cannot stop watching it. It is and so good. She's just like,
this isn't like a really good act. This is legit.
Oh no, this is totally legit. Oh my god, it is so legit. And today I found at the end of her video, she goes, all my videos are linked with blah blah blah, and I was like, oh holy shit. You're part of a network of home cooks that all, and so there's like 50 of them on this, all on this one channel, and you can watch horrible home cooks from around the country really? Like do really badly edited.
Are the kitchens equally dirty?
I've only gotten into two other kitchens or to two other people. Okay. The one lady is even more Virginian and she's got an even better accent. And, like she's so like hillbilly, like I kind of chubbed up watching her because she's just like, you can tell her bottom teeth aren't real. Like they're brand new. I don't know why. Probably Mountain Dew. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm falling in love with her now. She's my new favorite home cook. She taught me how to make Salisbury steak today, and she knocked it out of the park. But it's just great. They're like, all right, so I go to my pantry. Oh, she's making Salisbury steak. And she goes to her pantry and she goes, oh, crap, I ain't got no mushrooms. And it's like, oh, you decided on to make a show of cooking dinner tonight and started recording before you even knew if you had all the fucking ingredients for the meal you're going to make tonight. That is bold. That is a bold home cook. And I love her. I think she's great. Like, she's like, oh, look, I got a package of mushrooms with gravy in it. So I'll just use that, I guess. And it's like, yeah, why the fuck not, Trina? Let's just fucking throw anything willy-nilly into this fucking Salisbury steak.
Dude, I'm impressed. I thought you were going to say open carton, vent corner, microwave, 16 minutes, stir halfway. This is basically me. That's how I cook. Salisbury steak. And I'm like, oh, you want mashed potatoes? I'm going to pour a bunch of these flakes in this water. No, no, no. That's too much work. I'm going to get the Bob Evans mashed potatoes. Yeah, bam. And you just heat those up.
Stir them once. Yeah. Halfway through.
You got to put the gravy on. Make sure the frozen pieces don't get stuck. Because that's how you get that cold piece in the middle.
That's never good.
You ever buy the country gravy that's just the powder?
And you just
pour it in boiling water. It's so, it tastes just like you would get it at a Cracker Barrel or something. It's amazing. It's so easy to do.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just get you one of those flaky cans of biscuits, get those ready, and then pour this thing in there. It takes, use three times the amount it tells you for the gravy. If you're like me, because I like my biscuits swimming in gravy, I don't need a double of fucking gravy on top of a biscuit. But yeah, it's really good. Really good. And they have all different the flavors too. They have a hot one too. You ever have a hot gravy? Where basically they just put a little hot sauce and mix it in there till it gets pink. Yeah.
It's good. I'm trying this.
There's a Mexican place here in Broad Ripple. You guys have probably been at least once, called Biscuits.
Yeah.
And it's a Mexican place that's known for its biscuits and gravy, which is so weird. I mean, you can get anything you want in a Mexican restaurant, but then also awesome biscuits and gravy.
Can you imagine the guy that's like, I think we really need to lean into the biscuits and gravy. I mean, I know we have a full Mexican menu, but this is where we dazzle everybody.
That's what makes them open up before 11.
Yeah.
So you can really capitalize.
Now, if we name it Biscuits, will people have any clue that we serve anything Mexican whatsoever? Maybe we should
find out.
Maybe we should use the Spanish word for biscuit. Nope. No.
No one has any frame of reference for the Spanish word for biscuit. I don't even know.
Biscuito?
Is that what it is?
I don't fucking know. See, I just made
biscuits, though.
Just being racist.
Right off the bat, we're all on the same page.
Galleta.
Why didn't they call it galleta? I would go to a place called galleta.
Downtown Acapulco Joe's, I think it's closed now, they had the best biscuits and gravy in the city with fried potatoes on the side. Oh my God. When comics would come to town and we would go to breakfast, I'd take them to breakfast. I'd take them there. They by far, hands down, the best biscuits and gravy in the city.
Huh.
Acapulco Joe's. The rest of their food, shit. I hated it.
Yeah.
Their breakfast, amazing. Didn't we go there, Todd?
Yeah, it's really good. It's so weird, too. Now I'm starting to think, is there an underground Mexican breakfast scene that we don't know about? Like, you don't see, because we go to the touristy parts of Mexico. If we go to the real parts where the actual, like, people live, is there amazing biscuits and gravy on the streets?
Ooh.
I'm dying to know.
I would love, me and Maggie have actually floated opening like a biscuits and gravy truck. You could do that like during the winter, like downtown.
Yeah.
Get little bowls or bread bowls.
You just can't go wrong with biscuits and gravy. You can fuck up a biscuit.
You can fuck up a biscuit.
I want it doughy. I want it to be like, is this cooked enough? Like, you have to question it. Like,
yeah.
No burn. If it's too hard.
Right. Go What's fuck yourself.
Point? I get it in the can. I don't even try to make my own biscuit. I'm just Pillsbury.
Oh, me either. Don't get me
Pillsbury
started.
Does a fine biscuit.
I get those Pillsbury fat ass flaky ones, man.
Yep. That's what I get. And then I make my own biscuits and gravy from scratch. But
good for you.
But the biscuit I'm buying. I'm not even fucking with it.
Do you guys like big chunks of sausage in your gravy, or do you like the real fine crumbly sausage?
I do an in between.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. So you all right there, Austin?
Austin's real excited. God damn it.
Stand for in between.
There is no middle.
I want both. Right. I want a crap ton of the little pieces, and then I want a couple of big options. So it's like, that's a meat there.
But
then
I agree. And what I've also done before is do half sausage, half chorizo.
Shut your
mouth. That's spicy. And that makes a good, although I will say a little bit greasy. Like, I should have done it differently. But man, chorizo, man, it's greasy.
Yeah, it is really greasy.
It's hard to control.
Do you guys,
it was delicious.
Do you guys still get scared when you open up the biscuits? You know how they pop?
Yeah.
I freaked myself out for so long because as a kid, I didn't know it popped. Like, my parents thought it'd be hilarious to let me open it. Which was probably child abuse a little bit.
Which style biscuit? Donnie
open.
Which style biscuit do you get, Jess?
Ooh, I like flaky. The flaky layers. Mm-hmm. That little doughboy on it. Mm. But Donnie has to open it for me.
Yeah.
So really? My favorite thing is smashing that thing on the counter.
You hit it with the spoon.
But once you start pulling it, you don't know when it's going to happen. The pop in the middle, and you're like, come on, anytime. Ooh, you're just waiting for it. I hate it. Did I don't like Jack-in-the-boxes either.
Oh, I was going to say, did somebody damage you with a Jack-in-the-box?
I don't like those either. Don't play with me. Just pop up.
They removed the clown and put a dead cat head.
I hated them. I don't like surprises. I need to be in control of my toys.
Really?
And biscuits.
Somebody's going to clip that out.
That should have been done in the voice that the cooking lady Jeff was talking about earlier. It should have been done in her voice.
Oh, what did I say? I like
control my toys and my biscuits.
I can't even do it. I can't imagine. I like to control my toys and my biscuits.
Ain't that right, Brittany? The fact she has a daughter named Brittany just makes, I mean, it just sells the show to me on so many levels. Like, it just, like, cuts to her. The only part that bothers me worse, she has way nice cooking equipment than we do. Like, she has a super nice pan. But it's great. She's making this. She's recreating the Olive Garden soup. Mm-hmm. And she... there's like half an inch till the top of this pan boiling over. And then she comes over with a strainer of potatoes. like a bushel of cut up potatoes. She goes, now we gotta try to fit all these in here. And she just like dumps it, and it's like a mound, and she's just like stuffing it into the soup. I don't know why I find this so great.
I believe it was 47% of all females under the age of 14 that live in trailer courts were named Britney. It was during the Britney Spears phase. Like, there was so many people where I grew up naming their kids Britney, and now can you imagine? It's like, oops, sorry, as I watched Britney go crazy on Instagram.
Oh, 2007, not her.
Was there
year.
Like a was there a police meeting regarding this?
Oh my god,
there's so many girls named Jessica from, like, if you're born in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I don't know, my mom loved Murder, She Wrote, so I don't know if it's because of whatever, Jessica
Lansbury.
What did she play? It was Jessica. Angela Lansbury played Jessica.
Oh, Angela Lansbury.
Oh, Jessica Fletcher. So I don't know if it was because of that. Could have been.
Boy, maybe.
Or maybe something else. But a lot of Jessicas in my grade and the surrounding grades. A little annoying.
Yeah, there's a lot of girls your age named Jessica.
It's like Jessica, Ashley, Megan. Mm. Probably the main three names.
Yeah. But what's fucked up is at least Jessica's a name that's almost always spelled one way. Like, how many different variations of Megan are there?
I found another Jessica, though. And I misspelled her name, and I was writing to her in an email. It's someone I work with in sales. And I misspelled her name because I'm like, why the hell is it spelled this way?
Okay.
J-E- so
different from yours.
Yes. J-E-S-S. I-C-C-A. It was your C, hold on, C-C-A or C-A-A. For some reason, I'm like,
oh, what? Come on.
And I appreciate the uniqueness, but then I don't like misspelling my own name technically.
Right.
Oh, this is going to drive me crazy.
Jessica.
I feel like there's no latitude with Jessica. Megan, I'll give it to you. But I mean, come on. There's literally probably 100 different spellings of Megan right now. If you look at your friends list on Facebook, you can find 40 of them.
M-E-G-A-N-M-E-G-H-A-N-H-E-N.
M-E-G-H-Y-N.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I forgot about that one.
It's crazy.
A ton of Ashleys out there, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. L-E-Y-L-E-Ashleys. It's funny. The Jessica, out of the three names, Jessica, Ashley, Megan, Jessica, the least slutty of the actual people. I can vouch for that.
Oh, really?
Boo.
How many hoes you know name Ashley or Megan?
Yeah. Quite a few. Eh? I would say.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, no. It is.
Ashley's and Megan's don't date Jeff's.
It is J-E-S-S-I-C-C-A.
See, that's just.
I used to want to spell my name with a G there, I-G-A. So it's like Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
Like in elementary school, like that'd be cool. Maybe change the S's to Z's.
Old Jessica.
And then it turned into Jessica.
For that responsibility? I mean, that's big.
It was a lot. It was a lot of elementary
school. It's a lot of edge.
Jessica Alsman, then it slowly.
Jazz hands Alsman.
It turns into Jessica Balsman by college.
Oh, Balsman. I didn't even think about that. That's even.
Did you say Jessica Balsman?
Yeah. My college roommate was from Michigan and she could not say Alsman. She'd always say Alsman. It's like, no, A L S. I know. It's, but just all like ball. And she'd be like, ball. Alsman. It's like, damn it. So then it just, I was like, Balsman. And she's like, oh, I like that. So then she used to make Balsman. I like that you get. So,
oh, that's fun. I'll do that.
Then turn into Jizzy Balls.
Jizzy Balls.
You love dating a girl who's got a nickname like Jizzy Balls.
You're like, no, there's a good story. And you're like, I'm sure there is.
You're not asking Jizzy Balls to the prom. You know what I mean? Like, fucking.
Dude, you may like Jizzy Balls, but then, you know, your friend's going, you seriously have a crush on Jizzy Balls? And it's like, her name is Jessica Alsman. Stop calling her Jizzy Balls. And it's like, dude, you're dating Jizzy Balls. You're like, no, I'm not. Now I'm not going to ask her out.
That'd be a hard one to come back from, I think.
I'm thinking so.
You're lucky that was college. High school, you would have been done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What it was.
It would've been tough.
Alsmanian Devil.
Oh, that's a good one, though.
Heard that. It's usually just Alsy.
That sound like what they would do, like your intro for every basketball game. And your starting power forward, the Alsmanian Devil, Jessica Alsman.
We could get her into some local MMA fights. Yeah. We could fight under the old
Jizzy Balls. Jizzy Balls. Jizzy Balls.
Big robe. That's the rival school during a clutch free throw.
And you're on the line. And I would have yelled back, you don't have to yell. I'll miss them anyway. And then they're like, why is she addressing the crowd? Is she not a professional? No, I'm freaking high school playing basketball. I don't even care anymore. This is basically
we're
how
we're worried about professionalism and we've been yelling Jizzy Balls.
Oh my god, in the cheer section in high school we were mean. Like, we said things in chant form as a crowd that you cannot even say in a small group setting anymore.
That can get out of hand.
It was, I feel bad for anybody that we might have harassed.
It was kinda ruthless back then. Our school was featured on the news. There was something horrible that happened, and somehow it got tied to, it was a leap. Somehow the media tied it to devil worshiping because the kid that was involved in this liked Iron Maiden. And all of a sudden, we were all a school full of cult worshiping, devil worshiping cult members, and every basketball game, the opposing team had would do the devil horns on their head, and they had upside down crosses and 666 signs and all this shit. We were like, come on, man. What the fuck?
Against you guys?
Oh, yeah.
I would have ran with that.
Triton Central.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we finally outgrew that by the time you came up and were in our conference, Jess, at Rushville or whatever. But it took a good 6 years, I would say.
Oh, man. To wipe away that stain. They had an issue with the bird droppings. So they had to close. This is when I was in high school. They had to close their school down for a while. So when we ended up playing Shelbyville, our cheer section, our underdogs or whatever, came dressed as like in hazmat suits and everything, basically mocking the bird crap.
Oh, nice.
When you play Connersville, we have a chant STDville. Because they had the highest, I'm sorry if you're from Connersville. It's the highest STD stats per capita or some crap. I don't know.
When my son was at Shelbyville 1 year, they made it on Oprah for having the highest teen pregnancy rate in the nation of any other high school.
Oh, my God.
So then people at the opposing team crowd had pillows under their shirts.
Oh, yeah.
It was bad.
Kind of miss high school.
Oprah did a hit piece on Bailey's high school.
Yes. And I don't even think people got it. They were still thrilled that they were on Oprah.
Oh, yeah.
They
didn't
really realize this was a negative thing.
Yeah, made them local famous, not in the way you
should. The golden bears you can pull out. It is an option.
What do you got seventh period? Lamaze. It was rough.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine.
You know what, though? By the time
I lived there.
That was all there was to do.
Yeah.
Drive around in the numbered roads and get high, or go to somebody's house and drink and get high, or bang. And and I wasn't banging, so you can imagine what I was doing.
We've come full circle,
right? You guys feel skinnier? I mean, you look skinnier.
No, I've been I'm hungry all the time now, and I think I've put on weight.
You know, the worst part about losing that much weight, it's kind of good, kind of bad. Money-wise, it's bad, but fashion-wise, it's good, is you got to get a bunch of new clothes. I mean, inevitably, you can't wear your fat suit guy clothes anymore. So you got to go. So anybody who's participating in this, if you lose a bunch of clothes, if you're a dude, you lose a bunch of weight, not a bunch of clothes. If you lose a bunch of weight quickly, here's what I suggest. If you need a new wardrobe, you go to Mack Weldon. They are the best. We all have Mack Weldon. Jess even hooked the Don up with some Mack Weldon. It's awesome. I have the Ace sweatpants, which I wear 7 days out of 8.
Yes.
Easily, especially during COVID. They're the perfect COVID pants. And if I have to run somewhere and do some banking or whatever, they're kind of dressy sweatpants, so I can get away with it. But it's put on a decent shirt, I'm good to go.
Todd, you really dress up for the bank. Are you really dressing up for the bank?
Clearly, I have 50s of dollars in this bank at all times.
What bank are you going to that you got to get dressed up for?
Chase, you got to put on real pants. Something that looks like real pants, basically.
Yeah.
Dude, I wear mine to work, and my boss has not said anything to me about them. Like, they're that nice.
Okay. Oh no, they're real sharp.
Yeah, and I mean, dude, right now I'm gonna order 3 of those hoodies that Jeff wears all the time.
Yeah,
I'm tired of not getting compliments on my hoodies, so I'm going out and getting some right now. So guys, if you didn't know, today is Tuesday and we're recording, but you're listening to this on Wednesday, which is actually Singles Day in America. Did you know that?
Oh,
what?
All the single people say, what? I am single, so this is my day, everybody. Well, as you're listening to this. Right now, it's also my day we're recording because it's the Marine Corps birthday. Hoorah! So anyway, back to the pants. Mack Weldon, here's the deal. They're comfortable. and they're fashionable all at the same time. It's exactly what it sounds like when I say Singles Day. If you weren't familiar with this holiday, it's exactly what it sounds like. A celebration of being single. So do it big and treat yourself to a killer deal from Mack Weldon. Whatever men's basics you need, Mack Weldon has you covered with unmatched comfort and fit. If you're single like me during a pandemic, you wear the same clothes for weeks at a time. And if you're going to do that, wear great clothes, like the clothes from Mack Weldon. Here's what they got. They got socks, shirts, hoodies, underwear, polos, or active shorts, if that's what you prefer. If you have monster thighs like Austin, maybe you prefer the active shorts. Mack Weldon promises comfort and consistent fit. It's a versatile look. They're great, and they feel great. From working out, going out, going to work, or on a date, Mack Weldon is for everyday life. Wide range of customized fabrics that can keep up with you no matter what your day looks like. You got an 18-hour day ahead of you. You're going to do some sweating. You're going to do some schmoozing. It's perfect for both. Weldon Blue. Listen to this. It's the loyalty program. It's the best loyalty program I've ever heard of any company ever. Level one gets you free shipping for life. That's just level one. Free shipping for the rest of your life. Level two, you get to there by spending $200. You get 20% off after that of every order for the next year. So all you got to do is spend $200. Just get you. We spent like $200 each picking out our things, right? You get some socks, some pants, and a shirt. You're going to be close to $200. And for the whole next year, you get 20% off. Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep it. And they'll still refund you, no questions.
You're going to like the underwear. I mean, I don't have a penis, but I think you're going to like the underwear. I got them for Donnie. I like them. And he, who's very picky, is because I was like, I got you underwear. He's like, I don't need you to buy me underwear. And then he's like, oh, these are okay. These
you have to be picky about your underwear, guys, because it is truly a house for your penis.
And it just cups it nicely in there. It really does.
Right? Well, there you go. Score big this Singles Day, Wednesday, November 11th, and get 20% off your first order when you visit MackWeldon.com/Funtown and enter promo code Funtown. That's MackWeldon, MackWeldon.com/Funtown. Do it now for 20% off. All right. That's out of the way, but I'm no bullshit. That's my favorite clothing company.
Personal testimonial for the Ace sweatshorts.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a big thigh gentleman like myself, they grip them wonderfully. And in fact, in my household, they're known as my sex shorts.
Ooh.
Really?
So, I mean, I can't guarantee that for everybody, but
if you show up at Austin's house wearing them, you might get sex.
Hang on. Everyone stay away from my wife in these shorts.
Specify who.
When you walk in wearing them in the bedroom, and she like, nope, get out. Come back when you have regular shorts on. You set shorts off. It's not happening.
Wait, what shorts are those again, Austin?
The Ace sweatshirt, sweatshorts. I have several.
I'm shopping right
they
now.
Should rename them the Ace sex shorts now.
They should.
Mack Weldon, if you're listening.
It was a fantastic sort of side effect of the purchase that I didn't see coming. So,
and I'll say this, when I wear my hoodie out, I've had multiple, ladies go, hey, can I touch your sweatshirt? Like, it looks soft. And I'm like, yeah, you can. I'm like, it is. It's soft as hell. So I love it.
It gets you
some positive attention.
Perfect for Singles Day.
I'm sure you're not doing this during COVID, Jeff.
Oh my God. Just the other day at work, I had
somebody, a lady at work. You?
Yeah. They asked if they could touch my sweatshirt.
Did you take your temperature first?
No. Mm. We were all wearing masks in the hall.
Was it a Jessica Ashley or a Megan?
No, it was a Willie.
You know what? It's totally worth it. Like, I forget when last year I bought my first foundation, like makeup foundation. Mm-hmm. That was more than like $15. I've always bought the basic, which $15 is still expensive. I could never convince myself to spend $25 or $30 for foundation. Holy crap, it's a game changer. It's like three times better than the other makeup. And really? I had no
the stuff
idea.
That's three times more expensive is three times better.
And it makes sense. Weird. A part of me was like, holy crap, this whole time, because you don't have to use as much because it covers better.
Right.
I don't know. Part of me, I grew up not having a lot of money, so I'm not used to spending money. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to splurge $25, which is 30 after taxes or something. I'm like, oh my God, this is so expensive, but it was so much better.
Well,
I mean, I can't change what my face looks like, but the foundation worked well.
Jess, I don't know anything about makeup, and I know makeup's expensive, and you know, there's little things, big things, they're all different prices. What is the thing you dump the most money into makeup wise that you like throughout the year that you spend the most amount of money on?
Probably foundation.
Because is it foundation is your big consumable there?
The base covers up any blemishes, pimples. I've got a lot of freckles, so it's just an uneven skin tone. Mm. So that's probably what I use the most. Mascara dries out pretty quick and gets clumpy, so maybe that's what I actually spend more on without realizing it. But those are your two main things. Yeah. Mm. Your mascara and your foundation. But I wish I was better at makeup or cared more to do like fancy eyeshadow stuff. And
I mean, I'm glad I'm a dude because of the makeup thing, but I will say this. I mean, it can make a hell of a difference. Like, come on. You see people sometimes pre-makeup, post-makeup, and you're like, whoa, I wish I had makeup. You know what I mean?
I mean, I wear it to decently average, but I don't think I look that much different with or without it. But
no, you also don't wear like a lot
totally,
of it.
There are girls that look like a different person. They like start off their makeup. Watch a makeup tutorial. It's
they
the best thing
their
ever.
Face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, have you seen the porn stars with makeup and without makeup? It's like a BuzzFeed type bullshit. And it's like a porn star in her makeup and a porn star without her makeup. Like you would not, it's you would swear it was not the same person. Like, yeah. And it is.
Well, there is a girl that's huge on true crime on YouTube, and all she does is talk about a crime while doing her makeup. And it's a full process. So it's like a half hour show of her putting on this makeup while
that's
she talks
impressive.
About this true crime case. And she doesn't do a great job at all about talking about the true crime
case. Okay. So I'm like, that's really impressive to focus and do that.
She's just like, and then like, there was a murder over here. And then she explains the makeup, the piece of makeup she's putting it on and where she got it, what it does and all this in between. So it's weird, but she has like millions of subscribers. And it's weird because with the makeup on, looks fresh off TV, right? I mean, just super hot. But with the makeup off, horror show. So it's like the opposite of true crime. Like the ending is reversed because by the time it's done, things are much better than they were at the beginning, which is the opposite of true crime. Usually everybody's okay
bad?
At the beginning of true crime and then
it's
a lot
that
of people
bad
are murdered
at the beginning.
You know what? It's amazing. I think makeup artists and how they know how to do everything. Even when I do my eyebrows, a part of me is like, this is obviously makeup. People can tell. And the point is, you're kind of supposed to tell, but that's where I get uncomfortable. So it's like, I need a drag queen to come in and teach me how to do makeup because they're the best. They can sculpt. And you're like, I'm just jealous. I can't make myself even, they're a better woman than I am. She's not.
our 10-year-old the other day, she's starting to get into makeup and she asked Maggie, she's like, can I go play with makeup? Maggie's like, yep, you just have to clean up your mess when you're done. So she goes into the bathroom. She's in there with the door shut forever. I go walking past the bathroom. All of a sudden the door opens up, but there's no one there. And I'm like, wait, what's going on? And she's hiding behind the door. And I'm like, well, nothing suspicious here. So I go, hey, what's going on? And I'm expecting that she has put on too much blush or in the past, you know, they aren't good at it yet. You know, it's a skill.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm expecting too much eye mask or something. And all of a sudden she creeps her head around the door and she has blacked like stars around her eyes and big black around her lips, and she looks like Harley Quinn in the face, and she just goes and I'm like, I am not expecting I am not, I'm expecting a little too much blush, not like a complete, like, oh my God, it's the Joker's daughter here to murder me in my sleep.
That's awesome.
Came crawling out from behind that door.
Oh my God, scared the shit out of me. It was the exact, I never imagined she was in there when she said, can I do a makeup, that she was going to do 3/4 of her face in black and then accentuate it in white. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was, but she looked great. She did a great job with it, but scared the shit out of me.
Maybe she will be a little makeup artist.
Yeah.
Sounds like she's practicing for Kiss or something.
She wants to be a veterinarian and have a baby blue Lamborghini.
Oh.
That's her life goal.
Set those goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, well, if she's a veterinarian, she could have party to making makeup, right? Because they use animal parts, right? So like after she euthanizes them, she ships them off to Avon or whatever. Oh, Mary Kay.
I think they gotta keep them alive to use the makeup on them. I don't think they put it on dead, do they?
Well, I think they make it out of them, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought you just meant for testing.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're probably right. It's probably for testing.
I don't know. There's some lady serum that's made out of circumcised penis material.
Well, there's all the kangaroo placenta, you know, mm-hmm. that you put on your face and your hair that's supposed to be good.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't know until you try. I mean,
people do a lot with the
reverse
placenta.
Reverse the wrinkles.
I'm getting to that age. I'm going to start trying some kangaroo.
Oh, Austin, did you guys eat the placenta? You guys seem like a hippy dippy, eat a placenta with some scrambled eggs kind of family.
No, I did not eat any placenta. No. Good God, no.
Jesus. I was really going to be upset if you said yes.
I'm not gonna lie. No way are you going to get me to eat any part of people.
Especially your own baby. People do. If you're listening to this and you guys did that, nothing against you at all. It just...
Oh, I have friends who've done it. That's why I figured, like, I'm like, oh, Austin's like those fucking weirdos. I love you, Carrie. I'm just playing. She's listening at work.
I would take the placenta and then make my own shampoo out of it. But I'm not eating.
Ooh.
Just throw it in a smoothie. You couldn't even tell.
Oh, jeez.
Have you done this, Todd?
No, but, you know, I hear it's good for your hair. So
eggs
I could
are
use
too.
A little thickening up. What else is good?
Eggs.
You put eggs in your hair?
I don't because it's too much effort, but you can. A nice little hair mask.
Really?
The proteins.
I got lots of eggs. I could try that. I have cartons of egg whites always in my fridge. Can I just pour egg whites in my hair?
I don't know.
Or do I need the yolk? Is all the protein in the yolk?
Why do you have cartons of egg whites in your fridge?
What do you mean?
It makes me feel healthy.
I don't eat them.
Just the fact that they're in there. They always go bad eventually, but every now and then I'm like, I'll make some egg whites and sausage. And I feel healthy for the day.
You want that yolk. That yolk's the part that really does the job.
All right. Can you buy just yolks? I don't like separating them.
Yeah,
that's what my
I'm sure you can. Yolks. You can get all yolk or just whites. I always get all yolk. Just white sounds way too racist for me.
Oh, you can get it.
All yolks?
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
What's of course like, you can.
What are the for baking and stuff? That way you don't have to separate them yourself.
Does it look like a clutch of squid eggs?
It's a sugared egg yolk. So actually, I don't know if that's real.
Oh, hey! Earlier you mentioned the military about the Marines. It's the anniversary of what again?
It's today is the 245th anniversary. So back in, because as the Cadence song goes, back in 1775, my Marine Corps came alive. That's how you remember. So every Marine Corps always remembers how old we are because of that Cadence song that you have to scream every time that you run. You have to do that whole song. So, started in a little tavern in Pennsylvania called Tun Tavern. That was the first recruiting depot. I'm going to amaze you with my knowledge of Marine Corps history right now. And by the way, I'm not special again. You have to memorize every piece of Marine Corps history in boot camp and then pass that test or you will get thrashed in the sand often. So,
what does that mean?
Like they have sand pits everywhere on the recruit depots. Like every block, there's a sand pit that's about 20 by 20. right? 20 feet by 20 feet.
Okay.
And it's about, I would say, 2.5, 3 feet deep with sand. And when you're in trouble or your drill instructor just feels like having a good time, he throws all of you into that sand pit and you do burpees and sit-ups and push-ups and used to the mountain climbers. And you pour, throw sand all over yourself. You're swimming, you're swimming, you're swimming. Backstroke, backstroke, you know, in the sand for as long as they want. And then when you're done, you just get up and you go back in formation and do your thing. It's incredibly awesome. I was in there a lot. We called it the pit. And my roommate and I would get in trouble laughing constantly. Like, it's just fun. Drill instructors are funny as shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
like being told that they're funny.
And I feel like it's disrespectful not to laugh, you know? So we would always get caught laughing. And so we were called the pit recruits. It got to a point where every time somebody individually got in trouble and sent to the pit, he was like, pit recruits, join them. So Larry and I would all, every time somebody else got in trouble, we were also in trouble. We were in such good shape. I could do like 150 pushups. But the Marine Corps started because there was a need for snipers on the naval vessels. So they trained a special group of sailors to be a marksman, and they would go up in the crow's nest with a rifle. They would usually put two up there at a time. And back then, you know, they always wanted you to know the officers from the enlisted people, right, on the ship. So officers had a little like anchor insignia on top of their hat or their cover. And from up there in the crow's nest, you're like, officer. And they would just shoot, pick the officers off because they were idiots and marked who they were on top of their hats. And that's how the Marine Corps was born.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. A little piece of knowledge on the Marine Corps birthday.
So something preferably not involving death, but like, what was like, can you share like a crazy ass story from your time in the Marines?
Whether
as part of the Marines or like off. No, like you just said about the sand pit, like, was there something crazy that happened during that or like just off base when you guys were all partying? Because I know when me and you do shows together, a lot of times your Marine guys show up and you're like, hey, you guys, you want to go out drinking? And I'm like, I'm going back to the fucking hotel because you guys look like you're about to get in a lot of trouble. Yeah. And I need to stay away from that. So like
you're going
to
rip a hole in the space-time continuum. Get so blackout drunk.
I spent, you know, I served during the Gulf War. So I was reservist, got activated for the Gulf War. And we trained up and went to desert warfare school for like 6 weeks in California. We're like, all getting, we got all our shots with the big like shotguns, you know, that was miserable. We're all ready. They sent us to North Carolina. Every day we would get up and muster at 5 a.m. to catch this C-130 and fly to Iceland and then go to Germany and then from Germany to the Gulf somewhere to start fighting the war. And every day we would get up and we'd stand out there for like 3 hours and they're like, all right, stand down. It's not today. So we would do work detail. And just clean shit. So I was like, well, this sucks. I was in college and now I'm just cleaning toilets and shit, you know, and guarding prisoners while they clean wood stoves. So they asked if anybody wanted to go on an exercise in Norway. And I was like, sure, yeah, I'll go. I don't know if this war is going to happen or not. So I'll go. So I go to Norway in February and I had arrived to North Carolina from Longview, Texas, where I was living at the time. And on Christmas, it would be like 97 degrees, you know? And all of a sudden, I'm in February, and I'm in Norway, 500 kilometers above the Arctic Circle, and it's 60 below zero every night with gale force winds. So,
whoa,
so cold that if I had real bullets, I would have killed everybody. I'm not, like, there you reach a level of insanity with getting, if you get to a certain level of cold, you go completely insane. And there was nights like you would see guys just talking to themselves and screaming, just sitting there shaking because you couldn't warm up. You know, you're outside. So,
and they don't give you like special like
equipment or anything.
Yeah. To deal with 60 below temperatures.
They gave us a bunch of stuff that was supposed to be Arctic gear, still incredibly ineffective at those temperatures and those winds. So my job every night, we were playing war games. I was a midnight shift. I show up at this little guard shack, nice and warm in the little guard shack. And then you were to have to go outside. And if someone pulled up to the gate, there had to be a person manning the gate at all times. So they pair you with a Norwegian person. They're all 19. They're all serving against their will. They all do a tour of duty for a year when they turn 19 there, all the guys. So they got long hair. They're walking around in sweaters. And we're fucking like ready to fucking kill ourselves.
Were they all like 6'6" and blonde and beautiful?
Yeah, gorgeous looking. Yeah,
all Skarsgårds.
Yeah,
guards, just,
yeah,
just riding bicycles around and shit. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there with this kid on the first shift. And he goes outside and he's out there for like an hour. And I'm like, God damn. And then he comes back inside and he was like, okay, it's your turn. And I was like, okay. So I got outside for about 2 minutes and then I'm run back inside and I'm like, fuck this. I can't stand out there. It's too cold. I can't take it. And he's like, oh, and he starts freaking out. And he's like, you have to. There has to be one of us out there at all times. And I'm like, well, just stand your ass out here for a whole shift. I have no relief. Like they would split. They had a relief that would switch on and off with them. And I'm like, I'm not here by myself. I'm not gonna stand out here for 8 hours. And I'm mistaken. It had to be both of us. You had to have one Norwegian guy, one US Marine on the gate at all times. So they would switch every hour. I was expected to stand out there the entire 8 hour shift.
That's not fair.
No. So I would just ran inside. I only did 2 minutes and I'm like, I'm never going outside again. The shift's over. I'm just going to guard the place. No. Right here. I'm not here. Someone pulls up in a vehicle, I'll run out there and I'll handle it. But right now I'm not doing that.
I wouldn't make you guard Texas. Come right, on.
Exactly. So then this corporal of the guard, he radios like a little bitch off to somebody. And this corporal of the guard from the Norwegian army shows up and starts yelling at me. And he's like, you know, you have to be out here. There he shows me the manual. I'm like, I know what the manual says, bro. It's a war game. It's not war. And I'm not going to freeze to death out here. I'm from Texas. By.
We lost.
It's 16 below zero. And he is screaming at me. And I'm like, dude, I could declare war in your country by myself. Have you not seen your military? Like, you're not, like, we're a superpower. I'm going to stay in the shed. You do whatever you have to do. And he runs and goes and gets my sergeant. He radios off to somebody. My sergeant pulls up in a Humvee. And he's like, what the fuck's the problem? And this guy thinks I'm in trouble, this corporal of the guard that they have. And he's like, he won't get out there. You know, he's breaking protocol. We're all going to get in trouble, blah, blah, blah. And my sergeant's like, why are you speaking Russian? That's a joke on my accent, but I don't know. But he was like, you both have to be out there. And he goes, how about you take that little manual you got there, shove it right up your ass and go back to whatever snow cave you crawled out of? Because my guys are staying in this warm ass trailer. He's like, it's freezing out here. So then they all hated us for the whole time, except for this one guy named Christian who loved America. And he could speak way better English and more English than any of the other guys there. So he considered himself the closest thing to American they have. And he idolized us. And so he was like bragging one time. We were all eating lunch and he goes, I know more American cuss words than you, all of you combined. I know more American cuss words than all of you. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And he goes, yeah, you throw me any cuss word, you can't stump me. I know all American cuss words. And I was like, okay, clusterfuck. That's like the number one Marine Corps cuss word, right? And well, what is clusterfuck? And I was like, well, you got to figure that out, man. Like, you figure out clusterfuck and we'll buy your beers that night. And he was like, okay. So then the rest of the time you would see Christian in the background, like we'd be walking to and from somewhere and he'd yell out, he'd be like, hey, McComas, clusterfuck yourself. And I'm like, not it. Keep trying.
Aww, I like him.
Yeah, he was awesome. But that place hated us so bad.
And how long were you there?
I think we were there 6 weeks. It was so cold, bro. And at least at night, like, we all got to go back to these big, like, MASH tents, the GP tents. And we had, like, a coal-burning stove in the middle. So you had a fire watch. Somebody had to – you'd pull it for an hour, each one of you that were in the tent, throughout a night to keep the fire going. And inevitably, the last guy would fall asleep every time. So the fire would go out. So you slept naked because you would sweat so much with all your Arctic gear on, your clothes would be drenched by the time you went to bed. So You would have to put them between your body and the sleeping bag so your body heat would dry them for the next day. So
what?
You would have to get up completely fucking naked, and it's like during the day 40 below zero inside this tent, and you have to get up completely naked and dress yourself so you can go take a shit. And you have, when you got to shit, you got to shit right now because you're eating Arctic MREs, which have like 50,000 calories in every in every bag. So it was crazy.
At those temperatures, your penis becomes an innie, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Doesn't it? It was going out my asshole. Like, it was trying so hard to get into my body.
This would make a great show.
I mean, to this day, I can't stand being cold. I was 19 then. Like, that's like fucking 30 years ago. Yeah.
So funny.
It was bad. And they were trying to teach us how to ski. Our whole group was from Texas, man. Like, and I'm not, at least I'm from Indiana where we had snow, but I was living in Texas at the time. They're all from Texas, so they never even seen snow, a lot of them. And they're trying to teach us how to tactically ski. They're like, you go in a squad, but you only leave one track. That way, if the Russians are tracking you, they can only think it's one of you. They can't tell how many there are. And we're like, crashing into trees. We're losing our skis. And then some little, you'd be feeling like an idiot in front of them. And then you all of a sudden, there'd be like some 4-year-old child that's a Norwegian, just like an Olympic cross-country skier, just breeze right up the hill, right across from you. It was crazy. And then this is the last part I'll tell about it. But at the end, once we graduated tactical cross-country skiing, which meant we didn't fall down as much, they found a big mogul, a big snow mound. And they're like, oh, you guys can do jumps now. So we have this force recon Marine that specializes in Arctic warfare. He's, it's gunny highway, basically, our gunny highway. And then this Norwegian tactical guy. So he's a ski instructor. So we're doing it and we jump, and my one buddy, huge, we called him Tank. And he was just a big ass dude, like an offensive lineman in college, like a big dude. And he jumps over the mound and is way the fuck up there. He had so much speed when he hit that thing. And then his skis get a little like tilted a little more toward his face, and he starts falling forward. And when he hit, his ski hit him in the face, and it split his bottom lip all the way down to like the bottom of his chin.
Oh,
like,
my God.
You could see gum, and it was like the predator, when his mouth opens up. And I was like, oh my God. And, but it was so cold, like there wasn't much blood. So the gunny, the special forces guy, he was like, I got a suture kit in my bag. He's like, it's probably going to be 4 hours before we could get you to the hospital by the time we get back to base. So my suggestion is I just sew you up here. How do you feel about it? And he was like, yes, fucking fix my face. Whatever you got to do. You can feel what's going on. So this dude gets out a fucking suture kit with a big ass looking like fish hook. And sews his face back together right there on the spot. No numbing medicine, no nothing. Thankfully, his face was cold, so there was some numbing.
Did that numb the nerves a little bit?
Yeah, because he said it wasn't too bad. But we watched him suture his face together, and we go back, and he gets to the hospital. And when he came back, we were like, how'd it go? And he's like, I don't know. The doctor said it was good stitching, probably put twice as many stitches as necessary, but other than that I'm good. And we're like, holy shit, this guy, he just ramboed his face back together. I never seen anything. I didn't know that was real, like special forces guys really knew how to do that. It was awesome. Yeah. And he had the biggest scar afterward, but he cares. You're a big dude from Texas who played college football. It just made him prettier.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was my time in Norway. And we watched the whole war happen. Well, we watched the whole war start and the whole war end, because it was all like just a long weekend on CNN while we were in the chow hall in Norway. We're like, God damn it.
But you got to see the Northern Lights.
That's
really cool.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
I would love to go back to Norway in the summertime. Because it's got to be beautiful. All those mountains and shit. Like, I don't want to go there in February.
Where I'm assuming not a lot of hot chicks around in the dead of February. Most of them staying indoors.
Well, we were stuck at this base, but before we would cross the Arctic Circle, the first place we bedded down was this village, and it wasn't super, super cold there. It was like tolerable, because we took a 2-day trip to get to where we were above the Arctic Circle on a boat, but it was probably the highest concentration of hot women I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, it was like
they're all beautiful there.
A movie when sometimes they show up at this little village and everyone's a supermodel. Like it was literally that. And they gave us 4 hours of leave where we could go out in the town, and then we had to return back to this gymnasium to sleep, to get up in the morning to get on the boat. But so we go to town. Of course, first thing we do, find the nearest bar. Let's all get fucking drunk. There's no drinking age here. So let's go. We're all 18 and 19. And we did, forgot, like, the beer there is a little bit stronger than Coors Light. And, we all get blacked the fuck out. And all I remember is we had this Norwegian dude at our table who kept – he was so drunk, and he kept, like, shaking his beer around and getting beer all over us. And he just kept screaming, I am a Viking! I am a Viking! Oh, it was hilarious. We were thinking, I don't know, are Vikings cool here? I thought those were, yeah. Yeah, oh, it was a good time though. Yeah. And then I was like, fucking got back and we got to the airport. We come in through Iceland and then Reykjavik, Iceland. And then I forget where we landed in the States. But as soon as we got in the airport at the States, there were hundreds of thousands of people, it seemed like, lined up with, oh, welcome back, thank you, you know, to make up for the way my dad's generation was treated in Vietnam. There were, it's the big welcome back from the war parties going on, and we were just like, oh yeah, we were just in Norway, like fucking like such a dick. I didn't even want to say, I'm just like, okay.
Like, it was cold. Thank you.
Yeah. But it was rough over there. Yeah. Might look at his face. He's got a big ass scar.
Yeah. I mean,
Steve fell. Yeah. Steve fell when we were going.
Yeah, a big purple heart. we got to do the weigh-in. I'm interested to see where we're at here.
Oh, my God.
Skinny boys.
All right. Last week, I mean, I think Asuke was a little discouraged because he's only lost 1.6 pounds at that time. But again,
I'm just going to get out of the way.
All right. Last week, Jeff weighed in at 219.1 pound.
219.1.
I personally don't feel any lighter. And I haven't been weighing myself during the week.
Okay.
So I would not be surprised to find out I weigh the same.
Oh, really?
Maintaining is really hard. Again, I'm not joking. I probably gained, it might actually be like 4 to 8 pounds. I don't know. I had a lot of birthday cake myself. And then Donnie got me cheesecake and I ate the whole damn thing in one night. And
I've been smashing ice cream. Like
it's all right here. And yeah.
All right, Jeff. So it was 219.1 last week. And so how much weight loss was that total as of last week?
Let's see. He's lost 1.6 pounds.
1.6 pounds up to this point.
I'm exactly 218.
Ooh, another 1.1 pound. Every weigh in, if there's loss, you're winning.
I'm going to go.
So that's a total of
2.7 pounds from when you started.
Nice.
Dude, I guarantee you Austin's lost like 7 pounds. Like, he looks so skinny.
He does look skinny, but I can't tell if it's just because he shaves his giant Tom Selleck mustache or not. It could be, you know what I mean?
That has to be like a pound. Weight on you.
Yeah.
And I need your inches later. Belly inches.
Oh, yeah.
Because again, that's still pretty big.
Are you still doing the high intensity training?
Yes. Things?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm trying to go for walks every day.
Yeah.
And
You said the workouts are getting easier, aren't they? Or you're being able to do them longer?
Yeah, I've bumped it up another 10 minutes a day as to where I was.
That's so big. That's a lot. See, anyone listening, don't be discouraged. Like, if you're maintaining or losing like a pound, like a half pound a week is probably the usual way to go in a healthy route.
And if you're doing training like he's doing at the same time, you're going to put on some muscle. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a slower weight loss, but you're going to look a lot better.
Yeah. And if you're able to do it longer, like when you start working out, like there's nothing better than seeing results.
I'm at 209.
Where was he last week?
Wow.
So Austin last week was 208.9. So he technically gained
0.1
from last week. But
ooh, you fat motherfucker. That's why he shaved the mustache. He was feeling like that. Jesus. That's the 0.1 pound was the mustache.
No, that's what I'm doing. I'm waiting until the last weigh-in, shaving the mustache, dropping 5 pounds immediate, or shaving the beard 5 pounds down.
So I think I'm up.
You gained 0.1 from last week, but you're still down. Let me figure this math out. Math hard.
You're still like.
Yeah, you're still whooping my ass by like 6-7 pounds.
But and it's slowing down.
But he might be plateauing here, Jeff.
I'm sweating up.
You're down 8.8 pounds in 4 weeks. That's still over 2 pounds a week.
Into something more serious, I think.
Mm. Cocaine?
Yeah. You have to start doing hard illicit drugs.
That's what I was thinking. Like. Some sort of speed uppers.
Need some Addy?
Maybe some meth.
Adderall.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't bother me. I can eat right around that. I can eat right around it.
Even on Adderall?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, I should weigh 250. Easy. I'm lucky.
That you have attention deficit disorder and a prescription?
Yeah. And addiction.
It's incredible. Her ADD consumes 3,000 calories a day.
ADHD. Yeah. The H that adds the extra 1,000. Yeah. It's been bad. But send me your inches. Again, still very impressive. Like, Jeff, you're still down week four.
I still think I can come back. I think I can come back and win.
It's closer than you think. 8.8 compared to 2.7. I'm about to throw my hat in the
ring. We still have another month.
Yeah, you still have a whole nother 4 more weigh-ins.
Yeah.
So keep up the good work, boys.
I'm going to turn it up. I'm going to dazzle.
I feel like you have dazzle in you.
No, you don't, Todd. Todd, don't come over to this side now. Don't come over. This is right next to Jeff is broken. Is Todd's going to flip-flop? He's a flip-flop man.
Well, I keep forgetting that you played rugby.
I didn't play rugby.
That was a different friend of mine who's much more hard than you. Sorry.
I'm going to start a GoFundMe page tonight. That's what I have on my list of must do tonight before I go to bed.
Oh, nice.
Which is basically this whole what you guys are doing. So I'm going to throw in 100 to start because I'm donating 100 anyway, even though I'm Team Austin.
I will too.
And then I'll put that up on the Funtown Facebook page along with the other stuff. I think I was supposed to 4 weeks ago. Again, ADD. Mm. Can I blame it on that?
I thought it was ADHD.
What? Do you need some drugs, Oscar?
Always.
$5 a pill. I'm just kidding.
You can cut that out.
Jessica Ballsman got all the Addies.
What's up? I'm just kidding. They're 20. Someone needs 6. they don't work for me. I mean, they work for what they need to work for. But yeah, I'll add a nice little GoFundMe. I don't know what charity we're going to donate to yet because we don't know the winner, but I'm just putting that out there. I'm not embezzling. Mm-hmm. I'll put the money where it needs to go, but it's going to be donating TVA.
I just hope that it's to a charity that does something for animals. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, then you're going to be disappointed if I win because I'm not donating to animals.
I'm just anti-people.
Yeah,
but what
tell
about
us more, Ebenezer?
What about kids, Todd?
Oh, kids are good. I don't count them as people that I hate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, mine will be going to I have it down to two, but they both deal with foster children. Oh, so perfect. That's where mine's going if I win. But like always, these foster kids are probably going to be disappointed because I'm at the rate I'm going, they're getting nothing from me.
Jeff, we almost got coats for Christmas.
Yeah, you did. Fatty.
Please, sir, quit eating so much food. I'm freezing. Jesus. I need a new coat. Oh, man. Maybe put down the sandwich.
We're going to have to like raise a lot of money now to take care of the kids no matter what, I feel like.
I agree. All right. Well, this has been a great one, a fun one. You guys look great. You're doing great. Keep up the good work. If you're playing along, keep up the good work as well. And in 4 weeks, we'll know where all this money's going to, foster kids or Austin's charity of choice for kids that aren't tough enough to play rugby.
We're going to get them there, though.
Yeah.
It's we five do, more
we
have, weeks.
We hire bullies.
Five more weeks. Five more weeks.
Five more weeks.
Five more weeks.
Oh, that's a big difference.
I can't do this. You're I'm going to rock this.
F'd on Thanksgiving.
No, I'm not, because my family's already decided we're all staying home. So me and Maggie are getting we're getting roast beef Manhattans from fucking MCL the day before and then reheating them on Thanksgiving. So
Jeff, what's your go-to spot to eat out by you? What's your favorite place?
Out by me? I don't have a favorite place. Oh, probably
where do you just like to eat? What's your do you have a favorite joint?
No, I don't.
You
guys,
do you each have, before we go, do you each have like a go-to when you got to go to the family thing and you're supposed to bring a dish? Do you have a go-to Thanksgiving dish that you bring every time that you're kind of known for?
Macaroni, cheese.
Oh, hey, whoever brings a good macaroni and cheese is always very popular. Jeff? Mm. Yeah.
Trying to think what I usually bring. Oh, I bring this totally fattening, and we call it BLT dip. It's just basically bacon, mayo, sour cream, diced tomatoes, some onion, all mixed together, and you put it on toast, like little tiny toasts, and it tastes like a BLT.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
Delicious.
Jess, what's yours?
That's what I bring.
It's usually deviled eggs because
you make good deviled eggs.
Oh, the man. Secret ingredient is sugar. Oh, you add that to the yolk. Oh man!
Oh,
and then
man.
Coleslaw, which the other secret ingredient in coleslaw is sugar. So that's
usually what I mean. I thought you were gonna say. Oh. I thought the secret ingredient was Adderall.
Oh no! I don't need more uppity. Family all wired. And then Donnie makes sweet potato casserole. He does a pretty good sweet potato casserole. Lots really? Of marshmallows, nice. Brown sugar. Again, sugar.
My go-to dish every time was I would stop at Golden Corral and get 3 dozen of the butter rolls with the sweet butter.
Oh, side. Winner, winner.
Everybody loved it every time, and I have to do shit, but they're so good. Oh, my God.
That's so smart, Todd.
Right? Maybe we need rolls anyway. That's my favorite thing in the world is Cracker Barrel or Cracker Barrel.
Oh, a good roll.
Golden Corral fucking butter rolls. Jesus. And the sweet butter, secret ingredient.
Sugar.
There we go. Yeah. Makes everything better. All right. Put some sugar on it. We're out of here. We love you guys. Keep sharing the podcast and rating and reviewing. Please, right now, write a rate and review. We're out.